Okay, let's continue. The last exercise. I had some issues with the stability of the internet, so now things seem to work again, so let's continue. So in the last exercise, we're doing ARMA modeling for interest rates. So again, our data is almost 30 years. Then we're asked to calculate a interest rate spread between the 10-year US government bond and 3 months T-bill. First, we will import the data, and then we'll start to fit different models. And then we'll do forecasting again. So first we'll need libraries. Then let's load the data. And this is the interest rate spread. Then the summary statistics. Let's just plot. I don't think the summary statistics are that important here. So let's just. Was I actually? Can you hear me again? Just show me thumbs up or something. So I'm afraid I was locked out shortly. Did you see what I was doing? I believe I have some issues with the internet connection here, so we'll see how things play out. Oh, okay, so I'll just continue then. So this plot is about the difference between the 10-year and 3-month interest rates. And here, the important is the zero line. When the differential is negative, that means below the zero line, that means that the 3 months interest rate is higher than the 10-year government bond. But overall, we see that there's really the long-term pattern is that the differential is increasing and then decreasing, but after around 2010, there has only been this downward trend in the interest rate spread. Let's start modeling. First, we'll test ARMA. Let's calculate the information criteria. So first, using the Akaike information criteria. So based on the Akaike information criteria, the optimal order of the interest rate spread is 2-0. That means AR2 model. And based on Schwarz information criteria, the optimal order is AR1. So which one is it, AR1 or AR2? Let's estimate the model and see what's happening. So here we see immediately that the AR1 model is statistically significant and how that's calculated. Let's take the parameter and divide it by the standard errors. And if the value is higher than 2, it is a sign of statistical significance. So here the value is much higher, statistically significant. However, the AR2 model, the test statistic would be around one. That's not statistically significant. And then we also observe that the intercept term is statistically significant. Okay, so let's. Intercept term is statistically significant. So the first question here is that what's the economic meaning of the intercept mean intercept? So statistically, the intercept term is the expected value of the spread when other regressors, that is the AR1 and the AR2, have been set to zero. Here, however, when we calculate the so the question the first question is that what is it? If we calculate the mean value of the series, we observe that there's a difference between the spread and the intercept. That means that the intercept is something else than the mean value of the series. So let's do it in this way that let's demean this series and see what will happen. So here I subtracted the mean value of the spread and calculated the same model as earlier. Here you can observe that the values of the AR1 parameters are the same, likewise AR2, but the intercept term has become negative. Here, as I demeaned the series, I actually got the same value, that is the minus 0.08, than if I take the difference between the if I calculate the difference between the mean value and the intercept. So when I demeaned the series, it only shifted the series downwards, nothing else. However, statistically here, the interpretation of the intercept term becomes different. It no longer means constant value expected or constant value of the series when all regressors are zero. Rather, it's the expected value of the spread when the other regressors are at their mean value. So in other words, negative value here means that the series is sloping negatively downwards. This could well be a sign of some structural change in the data, structural shift in the data. And like you can see from the graph, it seems that before the 2010, there's this up and down going behavior, but after that, only downwards going behavior. So there seems to be that something has changed in the series. Well, let's try to figure out what has happened here. So first of all, let's start estimating this model. First of all, with the AR1 model. So we threw away the in the Earlier, we found out that the AR2 model was not statistically significant, so we threw it away and estimated the model again. The difference is that the AR1 parameter becomes around the same like the difference between these parameters earlier. So the AR1 model, AR1 parameter changed a little bit, and then the intercept term increased a little bit. It became a little bit closer to the, it became more closer to the mean value of the series. So here, let's calculate the difference again. Yes, the difference between the intercept and spread and mean value became smaller. There's some change, but that doesn't seem that high here any longer. However, here the AR1 parameter is quite close to one, and why is this significant? That's why, because it seems that this process seems to be quite close to a unit root process. That means that there's a stochastic trend in the process. If the AR would be one, it would be pure unit root process. This seems to be near unit root process, having some random walk characteristic in the model, some stochasticity that is not modeled. So then let's add MI1 coefficient to see how things changes. Okay, the MI1 coefficient is not statistically significant, and for the sake of the reminder, the statistical significance is calculated from taking the parameter values and divided it by the standard errors. And this value is way smaller than the value of 196, so the null stays in power, not statistically significant. So overall, our preliminary result is that there's some minor downward trend in the model, but we're not sure whether it is a implied unit root in the model. So in other words, there seems to be some stability in the model. If it would be pure unit root process, we could not trust the values of the parameters. So then the C part, okay, here we are again dividing our whole sample into subsamples. So here again, let's first study what has happened before the Lehman bankruptcy. That means the September 2008, whether there has been some structural change in the series. So in other words, we have not modeled any structural break in the model. We haven't controlled it, but it seems that there's some change in the data. So let's start analyzing things more deeply by separating the whole sample into two subsamples and see whether we can detect a break just by looking at the subsamples. So this is the modeling for the first subsample, and we are using AR1 model. Though the value seems to be quite close together, okay, the intercept becomes a little bit higher. First, the AR1 is statistically significant, and the intercept is also statistically significant. So here, I believe the big difference. Some some difference between them. So before in the first subsample, there seems to be some upward drift in the data. This could well be related to the structural changes. And then in addition, it seems that the AR1 is the model to go, but in addition to the AR1 model, we're going to estimate ARMA 1-month model. So here, even though adding MI1 order does not bring anything significant, we're doing this in order to check the robustness of the result earlier. So our assumption is that the underlying model, AR1 model, is better to capture the data generating process in the data. But when we'll make a small change in the model, adding MI1 order there. So even though we made this small change in the model, we expect the result of this second model to be almost identical with the AR1 model. So we just added something unnecessary to the model in order to check the robustness of the result. So we have AR1 and ARMA11 model both estimated, and then let's start to do out of sample forecasting. So using this model, first of all, we are doing static one step ahead out of sample forecasting and calculating and then we calculate the forecast error. So that's the first model. And same for the second model, that's ARMA11 model. And then let's plot the forecasters again. Okay, it seems that these models are be these forecasts are basically identical. So even though we added additional MI1 order in the model, we get the same result as without it. That's a good sign of the robustness. Our AR1 model is that model is validly estimated. Minor changes do not change the results. Okay, then let's test the unbiasedness of our forecast errors. So first of all, for the first model, so our expectations when we study the unbiasedness of this forecast errors is that the intercept term is zero and the parameter is one. And this is exactly the case. There's a minor parameter estimate for the intercept, but it is not statistically significant, well above the null bound of 5. So it holds that it is zero, whereas the forecast error is one and statistically significant. So that unbiasedness holds for the AR1 model. How about the ARMA11 model? And the same holds also here. The intercept is not different from zero, but the parameter is one. So both of these forecasts seems to be unbiased based on this metric. So then let's simply test the accuracy of the forecast by restricting it to one. So when the forecast would be accurate when the null hypothesis, that is the restricted model, holds. In the case of the AR1 model, we restrict the forecast value to the one, and the null hypothesis stays in power. So that's a good sign. The restriction holds as it should be. And same also holds with the ARMA11 model. The null stays in power. The restricted model works better than the unrestricted model. The next, in the next phase of our analysis, we test the accuracy of the forecast by using Diebold-Mariano test. So here, first of all, we have to calculate the forecast errors again, and then we compare them. Here, the null hypothesis is that both of these models have the same accuracy. They do not differ from each other. So AR1 and ARMA11 have the same. So with this p-value that is almost, that is really high, the null stays in power. That means that the forecast have the same accuracy. That's a sign of the robustness of the model. When we do a minor, add something more to the model, it do not change the result. And in addition, let's check that if in the first case we used mean absolute error as a criteria, now in the we set to the power to the 2, and that's for the mean squared error. And again, we changed the test statistic a little bit, but the null hypothesis stays in power. So they have the same accuracy. So again, our model seems to be robust. And finally, we are doing a Kranger-Newbold test to test the accuracy of to test the forecast. So here, with these metrics, we calculate the test statistics, and we found that the p-value, our null hypothesis of the Kranger-Newbold test, is that the differences in dispersions of these two models are zero. And with these values, the null stays in power. That means, in other words, the model have same accuracy. So overall, what we did in the sixth exercise is that we started to dig what was the data generating process of this spread, and we found that AR1 model is the best fit. Then we added an additional parameter MI1 to the model, and then we studied the performance of these models by doing out-of-sample forecasting, and all the results refer to that the AR1 model, and these results verified the robustness of the AR1 model. That is, doing a minor change in the model did not change any results. So that was this time, that was the sixth question. You have anything to ask? If not, so thanks again, and we'll begin and next week the same thing. See ya. Have a nice weekend.